My dear brothers and sisters, this Lent has been an incredible Lent for me. I hope you could say that too, but definitely for me, it was an incredible journey. Number of reasons. Some heart-wrenching retreats, some tough Lenten penances, and it's been a very, very busy Lent as well. In fact, I've almost reached the point of exhaustion. And then last week, Holy Week, it was even busier. Preparation for Holy Thursday services. I had service for Good Friday at St. Helen, and then back here for the Thaise service. We didn't finish till about 9 o'clock, and then I also got news that night that one of our parishioners, her son had a heart attack, so after cleaning up from the Thaise service, I went to Kettering Hospital, came back 11 o'clock, I'm tired, I'm hungry, had something to eat, slept. Next morning, 8:30, back here for the RCIA people. We had 33 people this year who came into the church. So 8:30 in the morning here for the rite of naming. Then we had the practice with them, practice with the servers, part of the decoration of the church. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, and at this point, I'm really tired. And I know we have 4 masses to finish, right? Last night and the 3 masses today. I went up to my room. I stood there for a minute. I felt the exhaustion taking over. And I looked up and I said, "You better have risen from the dead." If Christ is not risen from the dead, then my life, my priesthood, all these years, just a waste of time. I wasted my life. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then this morning you are wasting your time here. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then the 33 people who came into the church yesterday through baptism and confirmation, and by the way, I see many of them back here as if last night was not enough for them, they're back here. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then the whole year of preparation, that was just frivolous pursuit. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then all the people that died last year and we buried, we better have said a good farewell to them because we are never going to see them ever again. If Christ is not risen from the dead. If Christ is not risen from the dead. Now, could that be true? There's no way this morning I can present to you hardcore proof or evidence that Christ is indeed risen. All we have is 2,000 years of history ever since the first claim that Jesus has indeed risen from the dead. And what does history tell us? 11 men who took upon themselves this message of the resurrection, sacrificed their lives, went from one corner of the world to another, sacrificed their life, martyred every one of them. Nobody does that for a dead man. Hundreds of thousands of people in the early Christian community, in the early Christian church, They rather undergo persecution and martyrdom, rather than deny that Christ is not risen from the dead. For me, that is powerful. People don't do that for a lie. And the rest of the history of the church, millions of people who have made heroic sacrifices, chosen asceticism, missionary work, suffering, foreign lands, persecution, and even death to bear witness to Christ. Billions of people from the time for the last 2,000 years, billions of people could not resist the power of Christ in their lives. Rather, here we are, making a statement. Here we are this morning for a reason. And is there anyone tonight who is going to claim that they are here this morning because Christ is dead? Aren't we here because we believe the opposite? And so, as far as I am concerned, with the millions and the 2 billion people who claim Christ as their Lord, we gather to celebrate the risen Christ. I have 3 points for us to think about today in terms of Easter. They're not necessarily connected, but 3 points. When I used to teach here, this is my first point, when I used to teach here at Immaculate Conception School a couple of years back, one of the kids asked me the question, but how can a dead man come back to life? Because this is not a normal experience, isn't it? We don't see dead people rise up in their casket and sit down. We'd probably scream if that happened. But a normal experience is that people who die, we bury them. So his question is very thought-provoking. How can a dead man come back to life? And my answer to the question is this. If we are talking about Jesus, this dead man could come back to life because human beings cannot kill God. Birth and death are beyond the realm of eternity. And God is eternal. Who they killed was God in human incarnation. But God cannot be bound by death because God is eternal. So even though the human form that God took, we put him to death, but death could not keep God for eternity. And so if we believe that Jesus is indeed God, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if we believe that God in Jesus became flesh, then we have no choice but to admit and to accept that Jesus is risen from the dead. And so, I acknowledge my faith in that risen Christ today, and I invite you to do the same. Doubts aside, frivolous questions aside, just this plain faith. God is eternal. Jesus is God. Jesus is risen from the dead. Plain, simple faith. That's enough for me. Second question. A little kid came and asked me once, but why did they kill Jesus? What do you say to a 4-year-old kid? It really is an adult question. And I would like this morning to give an adult answer. By the way, the little kid, whatever I told her, didn't make sense to her. I hope I make sense this morning to us as adults. By killing God, Jesus, We try to make God part of our story. We wanted to drag God into the muck and misery of human sin and death. What is the best we could offer God? What is the best that human beings offer to God? The cross. Because our story is a story that ends in death and mortality. But Easter is a story where God makes us part of God's story, not the other way around. Human beings cannot contain God. And God cannot merely end with the way human beings want to end the story. God becomes part of our story. No, our story is now part of God's story, which means what? Which means that what God offers to us is not death, life. We offered God death, but God offers to us life and eternal life. And to anyone who wants to exchange their sin for redemption, anybody who wants to exchange their death for life, today, take all those and lay it at this altar like you would do at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, death was there. Jesus transformed it. And so, we bring our sins, our capacity for evil, our wrong choices, our death-destined existence, and we lay it at the foot of the altar. In a few moments, bread and wine will become the body and blood of the risen Christ. Do you want to exchange it? Do you want to exchange death for life? And if you do, here is the risen Christ for each one of us. So I have a question for you folks, and I'm serious. Are you ready? Yes. Christ is risen, for goodness sake. Are you ready?
Yes.
Is God dead?
No.
You believe that?
Yes.
Is God dead?
No.
Is Jesus alive?
Yes.
And you believe that?
Yes.
Then show it. Live it. The disciples on that day when they came to the tomb, they saw the empty tomb and they took that message and went to the whole world. If the disciples did not do this, the good news would have stopped at the tomb. This church might as well be the empty tomb, but if you and I do not go and show that Jesus is alive, and you professed it just now, you just said Jesus is alive. Let us live it. Let us live it. If we do not live it, people don't see that Jesus is alive. And so, let us, for example, people will only believe in Jesus as the risen Lord if we set aside the culture of death and embrace the culture of life. People will only believe that Jesus is risen if we fly the banner of love and peace instead of hate and violence and war. People will only believe that Jesus is risen if we fly the banner of justice instead of infidelity and lies. People will only believe that Jesus is risen if we fly the banner of compassion rather than selfishness. People will only believe in Christ if our lives proclaim it. Jesus, my dear friends, is risen. What are we waiting for? Let the celebrations begin in our lives. And in this Eucharist, may our participation in this Eucharist be a witness to the power of the risen Christ in us. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.